From the Central Adelaide Local Health Network, this is Research Pulse, where we discuss the latest world-class health research from Carlin and how it's contributing to world-class care.
Computed tomography scans, or commonly known as CT scans, can save lives. They enable early detection of disease and faster diagnosis and treatment of medical conditions. But they also expose patients to far more radiation than a traditional X-ray. Hello, I'm Drew Radford, and one of the most frequently performed CT scans is of the brain in response to minor trauma. These are often accompanied with a CT facial scan. However, are these secondary scans always necessary? It's a question that Sarah Constantine, a consultant radiologist at the Women's and Children's Hospital and the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, decided to tackle. She recently led the first large study investigating the possibility of using information from CT brain scans to predict the need for CT facial bone scans. To discuss the study, Sarah joins us for this Research Pulse podcast. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Sarah, improved access to diagnostic imaging is saving lives and helping many patients avoid exploratory surgery, but it comes with a risk, and a risk that perhaps not everyone's aware of. What are the health impacts of CT scans?
CT scans are absolutely amazing in that they provide us with a three-dimensional look inside the body. But the downside of CT scans is that we do have to use radiation X-rays to produce the scans. Now, in the very small amounts that we use for a single scan, that radiation is of no concern. But the downside of radiation is that the negative effects are cumulative. In other words, the more you have over your lifetime, the higher the risk of negative outcomes. And we're really talking about cancer. There was a publication about 15 years ago now in a very eminent medical journal that estimated that between 1 and 2% of all cancers are now caused by CT scanning. So it is in every patient's best interest that we only do these scans when we absolutely need to get relevant medical information that is going to contribute to a good diagnosis and appropriate treatment.
That's a remarkable statistic. What did you notice in your work at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in regards to this exposure?
Well, the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, being situated in the western suburbs of Adelaide, we have a very large ageing population. So we get a lot of people coming in, elderly people who've fallen and hit their head or hit their face. And as such, they need a CT scan to make sure that they haven't got a bleed inside their brain. And I noticed that a lot of these people were also being asked to have CT scans of their facial bones, which is a separate scan. But a lot of the time, I thought it probably wasn't necessary because I could see on the CT head scan that the upper part of their face wasn't damaged and there was no blood in their sinuses. And because facial bones, when they break, bleed a lot, it makes sense that you'd see blood in the sinuses if there was a significant facial injury. But it's no good me just saying, oh, look, I've seen this. You know, we needed some evidence. So we designed this study to look at people who had both a CT head and a CT facial bones for minor head trauma on the same day. And then we used a statistical prediction model to see whether we could just use the CT head to predict whether we needed that CT facial bone scan.
So who could benefit from this prediction model?
Basically, anybody who comes in with minor head and facial trauma can benefit, because if we can only do the CT facial bone scans on those people who really need it, we're reducing the radiation dose to every individual patient. But we're also benefiting the system, because if we're doing fewer unnecessary scans, we're doing the scans more quickly so we can get patients through the emergency department more quickly, which helps with our problem with bed shortages and ambulance ramping. But also we can reduce the amount of financial burden on the health system by only doing the scans that are really necessary.
Now, Sarah, I understand this was a preliminary study. What's now involved before we can see the Adelaide facial bone rule, which I understand is what it's called.
That's right.
Used in hospitals across South Australia, but potentially around the world.
This was a preliminary study, and we did what's known as internal validation as part of the statistics. But we now need to do what's called an external validation study. So we basically need to repeat the study on a different population. So for example, we need to do the same study all over again, for example, at the Royal Adelaide Hospital or the Flinders Medical Centre, to see if the results and the very good results we got from the initial study hold up on another group of patients.
Sarah, importantly for people listening to this who might be thinking they want to avoid CT scans, what would you say to them?
I'd say if you've ever got any concerns, talk to the doctor who's referring you. As I said before, CT scans are wonderful. They give us so much diagnostic information, but it's all about a balance. It's about balancing the small risk of radiation from the scan against the benefit that you would potentially get from a diagnosis. So for example, if you come into emergency because you've got pain in your lower abdomen, there would be a definite benefit from having the CT scan and picking up your appendicitis compared to ignoring that low radiation dose but having a burst appendix, which could cause you very, very significant illness or even death. So it's all about weighing up the risks and the benefits. You have the scan when there's a need for it, but if there isn't a need for the scan, we avoid it where we can.
Lastly, Sarah, a bit of prediction based on further studies. What do you think the timeline will be for the Adelaide facial bone rule to be broadly adopted?
Very hard to know. Certainly the quicker we can get the next phase of the study done, the quicker we can get it out into publication. But with the health system as busy as it is, finding the time to do it is always a problem.
Sarah, it's remarkable work that will benefit so many and also help conserve precious health system resources in the process. Sarah Constantine, consultant radiologist at the Women's and Children's Hospital and the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, thank you for joining us for this Research Pulse podcast.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Research Pulse. For more episodes in this series, find us and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear your feedback, so please leave a comment or rating and share this series with your colleagues and friends. If you'd like to contact us, you can find an email address in this episode description. This podcast was developed by the Central Adelaide Local Health Network. We would like to acknowledge the Kaurna people and pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging, and acknowledge their spiritual connection to the land on which this podcast is recorded. As part of the oldest living culture in the world, we draw inspiration from their deep knowledge of traditional foods, medicine and remedies.